Hello and welcome to the Movies You Forgot podcast with me, the host, Adam Richmond. This is the show where we chat about the movies.
And a happy new year.
All films you forgot you'd even seen in the first place. There he is. Yeah. He's piping up. He always wants...
And a happy...
He always wants to get to the bit of business where he introduces himself. He's got a leaky bucket. Because, you know, he forgets he's not even the host. It's Mr. Joe Devine.
And a happy new year to you as well, Adam. 2026, huh? What a big one.
What a big one, yeah.
A large marrow for me, sir.
What's for pudding?
Treacle.
Cream.
Oh.
I don't like cream on anywhere to do with my pudding.
No.
I don't understand the addition of the cold onto a hot. And I like a cold crumble as well, and I wouldn't even want cold cream on a cold crumble.
Hang on, you wouldn't have ice cream on a warm brownie or something?
No, because then it ceases to be ice cream. It swiftly becomes goo.
Cream melt.
Yeah.
I mean, that's delicious. That's one of the nicest things about it when you put ice cream on a hot thing. What about when you have... Have you ever had any of those melt-in-the-middle puddings, those ones that sort of lava chocolate things where you pop them open and then they ooze warm juices? Have you ever not been tempted to mix one of those with ice cream? Because that's a delicious mess, that is, altogether.
I'll be honest, I'm not really a pudding guy. Yeah, I had one of those puddings, but yeah. I would just stick to classic vanilla ice cream on its own. Mm. On its own.
Yeah.
Pristine, lovely little ball of ice cream, and then just you can tend to that. In your own time, help digest the meal.
Yeah,
that's,
sure.
That's all I need.
You know how you feel when we go out walking together and I don't even notice any women? That's how I feel when you tell me that you're not really a pudding guy. Because I've seen you go at chocolate and it's like, you could take it or leave it. You don't care, you know? And I think, what's wrong with this man?
You came around my house with gifts of what you claim to be. I think you've got a biscuit problem because you seem to think that your taste in biscuits is all that there is. And you gave me these biscuits, these chocolate biscuits, and you said, you looked me right in the eye, the most serious I've ever, this is more serious than Lord of the Rings chat.
Very serious.
You said, these are the greatest biscuit.
Yeah.
That there is.
They're, by the way, they're the M&S like pineapple type ring, thick chocolate biscuit.
Mm.
You know, like a bit like how, do you know that chocolate bars like Toffee Crisp, for example, are not technically allowed to market themselves as chocolate bars anymore because the quantity of chocolate and required, you know, substance for that definition have fallen below the mandatory minimum. So they're now called biscuit bars. Something I think a penguin is the same. Penguin is a biscuit bar. These M&S chocolate biscuits are on the verge of being, you know, being called chocolates as opposed to biscuits because the ratio is absolutely delightful.
Delicious and delightful. It says on the packaging, it says more chocolate than biscuit.
There you
now,
go.
This was you came around my house maybe, I think it was 2 weeks ago or so.
It was a week ago.
Feels like two. I don't know why. You know, isn't time funny?
I don't know. Feels like
it was two weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I haven't had any of those biscuits.
Right.
I've had. That's how little interest I have in a more chocolate.
Sure.
Than biscuit.
Has your wife had any biscuit. Of those biscuits?
She has, and I asked her earlier. I said, "Did you like? Do you like those biscuits that Joe bought round?
Uh-huh.
Joe and his wife bought round."
Uh-huh.
And I was really hoping she'd say, "Oof." No, bit
sure.
much. What kind of cunt brings these to a dinner party?
Yeah.
It wasn't a dinner party, but
it was
a luncheon.
It was a dinner party.
Well.
That's what I've been telling people anyway.
Cool. Okay, fine. She said, oh, yeah. Ooh, she said, num, 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 like that.
And that sounds familiar, you know. Not that. Just listeners, I'm glad that your wife enjoyed the biscuits as a start, but just to clarify, the reason that I even went over the top about the biscuits is because, as you might expect, you've been listening to this show for some time, I hope now, you might think Adam Richmond here is just a huffy old grumple stiltskin, just for fun, just as a podcast character, you know. The kind of guy that would poo-poo a shoe, you know, upset whatever guests that have travelled nearly 2 hours to reach his house. No, it's real life. I brought the biscuits, amongst other things, as a gift for Adam. The first thing is, he said, what, no crisps? You know, that was that he was upset that we didn't bring crisps.
He was actually
quite pissed off that I'd bought him biscuits. He was actually pissed off that I'd bought him biscuits. He said, as though biscuits aren't a gift, as though they're not gift worthy. You know, it was one of the first things you said to me. Your text message said, if you want crisps and olives, bring crisps and olives. We didn't want crisps. We wanted olives. So we bought olives. Okay?
Yeah. And I wanted crisps. And
well, you should have fucking said then. You should have said, bring me some crisps. If you said that, I would have brought you some crisps.
You profess to know me. I can imagine you reading that message and you look into your wife and going, guess what? He really wants crisps, but he is so pathetic, he can't ask me to get them. So what he's done, wife, is he said, if you want crisps and olives, bring them. And you knew that, and you've said that to you.
I did know that. Do you want the truth? Do you want to hear the truth?
You got just olives.
The truth is, my wife loves crisps, and we did buy crisps, and I knew you meant that. And we kept them at home because she wanted to eat them at home. So we kept the crisps at home and we didn't bring them. And I thought, as a little punishment for his inability to be direct via WhatsApp, he won't be having any crisps today, but he will have biscuits. There you go.
I really respect that decision because it's exactly the sort of thing I would have done with my crisps.
Sure. You would have kept them at home and eaten them yourself.
But you expect me to, like, what, roll out the red carpet for some chocolate biscuits? No, I don't want them. And someone else can eat them.
Yeah, your wife, who seems to be enjoying my chocolate biscuits.
Well, I'm going
to
throw the rest of them in the bin.
Oh my God.
On today's episode, we're talking about wives. We're talking about children. We're talking Knocked Up. This is the 2007 Judd Apatow-directed flick, starring Seth Rogen and Katherine Heigl, and also Paul Rudd and Leslie Mann. In smaller roles, Jason Segel, Joe's doppelganger, pops up, as does Jay Baruchel and Jonah Hill. It is 129 mins. Ew, it's a little bit too long, I'd say. 20 mins too long. But still, I will argue very, very watchable. Here is the Letterboxd. Save the due date. A slacker, Seth Rogen, and a career-driven woman, Katherine Heigl, accidentally conceive a child after a one-night stand. I mean, yeah, they have sex.
Yeah.
And there's miscommunications about the Johnny. As they try to make the relationship work, they must navigate the challenges of parenthood and their differences in lifestyle and maturity. Bang on, Letterboxd. Well done. That's a really good summary of the film.
I've just realised you're going to say Johnny so many times during this podcast episode, and you know I don't like it when you say that word.
Judd Apatow, of course, also writes the screenplay. He's a comedy luminary, really, like very, very much responsible for most of the comedy stalwarts knocking around now, since the Freaks and Geeks days. You know, he's birthed Rogan, ushered the careers of many, many other people. Then this is 2007. This comes out the same year as Superbad, which he produced as well.
Right. Fingers in everything.
Fingers in all the pies. You don't really hear a lot about that. But we're near the 20-year anniversary for Knocked Up, and no one talks about this movie anymore, Joe.
I know, one of the things I wrote down was that the baby in this film would be 18 years old now, which does make me feel quite old. That baby would be finishing school.
Did you see this at the cinema? You're going to be quite young at this age.
In 2007?
You're going to be young at this age.
I'm young at every age. It's a predilection. I think I probably did see this at the cinema. No recollection of it. You know, I would have been 16, 17 years old, something like that. And I would have been out and about, you know.
Virgin?
It would have been around this time that I...
No, what I meant, I was wondering if you'd seen The 40-Year-Old Virgin as well.
That's very funny. You've deliberately you've deliberately done that, haven't you? You've deliberately done... Virgin? You have... Virgin?
Yeah. I can't believe for a minute you're actually going to genuinely discuss when you lost your virginity, as if I would ask such a personal question.
It would have been around that time that I lost my virginity, I would say. Around 16, 17. Would you say that's late? 17, no? 16, something like
that's,
that?
That's a good, yeah.
Around that?
Reasonable age, yeah.
Reasonable age. I was very worried that it wasn't going to happen, you know. I thought, I was thinking, I'm never going to have sex. But that was wrong.
Well, that's the, what the movie American Pie is all about.
I think that's also what the movie The 40-Year-Old Virgin is also about, which is what you were actually asking me about, right?
Yeah, I was wondering, do you remember, were you pre-Apatow'd? Like, did you think, you'd seen that?
Oh, yeah.
Thought, oh, yeah, this is...
I'd Apatow'd already by that point. I mean, I think I'd watched a few episodes of Freaks and Geeks, and I'd also seen The 40-Year-Old Virgin, which came out 2 years prior, right, in 2005. So I think I was aware. I'm not sure that I was aware of Judd Apatow as a person or as the director, but I'd obviously seen his work previously. And I agree, The 40-Year-Old Virgin was kind of seismic in terms of its impact on culture and its influence on teenagers, to a far greater degree than Knocked Up. I think Knocked Up is arguably much more of a sort of grown-up film than The 40-Year-Old Virgin is.
Yeah, I mean, 40-Year-Old Virgin, the impact was maybe as big as Dumb and Dumber or There's Something About Mary, maybe more, in terms of everyone was surprised. Oh, comedies can be funny and rude again.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I'd say equally, no one really talks about 40-Year-Old Virgin anymore.
Of comedies of the time, I think Anchorman is the one that really... sort of survived and remained in the canon. I don't think 40-Year-Old Virgin is in the canon. I think Knocked Up was very big at the time, and I'm sure we will see from when we do the box office game later. I imagine the DVD sales of films like Knocked Up were very successful, but I think Knocked Up has been out of the canon for a very, very long time. And I'm actually, I don't want to jump ahead, but I'm looking through Judd Apatow's directorial history. And I don't see a film in here that's still in the canon. I think Freaks and Geeks is like is you know, the genesis of many people that we recognise now. And clearly he's someone to whom performers gravitate and who had a kind of a big impact on culture at the time. But none of this has really lasted or built to anything else, has it?
Well, it has, because without these films and without him, nothing else subsequently exists. So people don't necessarily watch or talk about 40-Year-Old Virgin anymore. They're probably because they're just banging on about The American Office incessantly.
Yeah.
And I think with Knocked Up, what I found rewatching it, I wasn't hugely looking forward to rewatching it.
No.
But I was pleasantly surprised because it's affable and charming, and there's a real, I felt like it's more of a comedy drama than a big laugh out loud comedy that 40-Year-Old Virgin is meant to be. There's no big comedic set pieces in Knocked Up. It's the full Apatow style.
Yeah.
Where he's got long scenes. They feel really loose. They feel really lovely, well observed. He's got an amazing eye for a cast, and he says on the commentary. I watched about 40 minutes of the commentary. He doesn't know about lenses. He doesn't really know much about directing, and you know, he relies on production designers and cinematographers to help him get his vision together. I think he's just got a great sense of what funny is and what works, and so that's probably why he's not even directed that many movies.
No, he hasn't.
He puts things together. He produces a lot and has done, and he's got an exceptional eye for talent. And the reason I think Knocked Up isn't in the canon anymore is because there are no big comedy moments that people would talk about. It's just lots of patter.
Yeah.
And it's funny, but it's not, it wouldn't insist. You're not going to pop it on for like assured laughs, I think.
Yeah.
And so that's probably why it's faded in terms of a comedy.
I think that's fair. And I think it's a very good distinction to make that it's not 40-Year-Old Virgin. It's very different. I feel like if Knocked Up was 40-Year-Old Virgin in the sense of those, you know, the kind of egregious laugh out loud comedy, there would be scenes like when they visit the gynecologist, for example. Seth Rogen would trip and fall and get stuck in a gurney with his bum out, and then, you know, a doctor would accidentally insert something into his anus, or he would accidentally poo himself during the earthquake. Or, you know, there'd be those bigger moments that the film builds towards. And that doesn't really happen in this film at all. It's very different. It's also worth saying that I specified his directorial history because, you know, to your point, he hasn't actually directed that many films. When you think about him as someone that gets things together, gets casts together, makes ideas happen, and you look through his producer credits, they're absolutely incredible. And if you don't mind, I'll have a little flick through them now, if that's okay with you.
Well, I think you should. I don't think he gets enough credit at all.
Great.
So
great.
Give him the credit, you know. Not just the film, not just the careers he started, but the influence on everything else, TV.
Sure. Well, he was an executive producer in the early days, between 1992 and 1995. He was an executive producer on The Ben Stiller Show. He was a producer on the film The Cable Guy. He then was a consulting producer and a co-executive producer for 76 episodes of The Larry Sanders Show. He produced and directed Freaks and Geeks just for a year. There's only 18 episodes of that, but that's a kind of cult classic because of the number of people who went on to become very, very famous who starred in that. And that was kind of unusual show for the time. He was a producer on the first Anchorman film. Then, again, produced credits on The 40-Year-Old Virgin, Talladega Nights, Knocked Up, Superbad, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, Step Brothers, Pineapple Express, Year One, Funny People, which he also directed, I believe, Get Him to the Greek, Bridesmaids, which, you know, was absolutely huge when it came out. Yep. This is 40, and that's a film that Adam particularly likes and we'll probably talk about again later.
That's the sort of sequel to Knocked Up and focuses on the Rudd Man characters.
The Rudd Man. Anchorman 2, of course, Trainwreck, which wasn't particularly popular, but I think it was quite relatively successful at the time. Since then, not loads of stuff since then, but, you know.
He seems to have petered out. He did a Netflix thing that I called The Bubble.
The Bubble.
I think about actors on a set during COVID, and I tried watching it and it wasn't very good.
Right.
But
he did The King of Staten Island with Pete Davidson.
Oh, yeah. You know, I quite like that
guy from Saturday Night Live. I didn't watch that, but I think that was quite popular.
Yeah, it did okay. I quite like that. I don't think it was massive. But
the overall point I'm making is that that's an absolutely incredible list of production credits. And I think if you just took 100 people from the US and from the UK and other Western countries and asked them to name some comedy films from the last 20 years, I think the majority of them are going to name films that Judd Apatow has had something to do with.
They would.
Maybe they if would they just... were between the ages of 45 and 30 and they were men.
Yeah, nice caveat.
Thanks. It's quite a specific group.
Anything off the trolley, dears?
We'll take them off!
But I don't know why it's annoying. I haven't thought about Judd Apatow in ages, but it's just watching this, it just suddenly annoyed me. It really annoyed me that I just don't think he gets any credit.
Yeah.
But maybe because the films have been forgotten. And I think it's also because it's comedies. People forget comedies. Comedies historically have always been ignored in the Oscars. They get forgotten about.
Yeah.
And so then the people who make them equally kind of get forgotten about, and all people care about is the critical darling drama shit, and,
yeah,
and the comedy guys, they just get forgotten about.
Here's a question though. I was listening to the Adam Buxton podcast the other day that had Eric Idle on, one of the Monty Python crew, and he was asked a question about why he thought Monty Python had survived for this long, because It's, you know, Monty Python is still very popular today. Young people are still just rediscovering the films or discovering them for the first time and enjoying them. His answer, I think the answer generally is pretty straightforward. His answer was the same, that they made a lot of stuff that was evergreen, that didn't rely on topicality or issues of the day. And they made stuff that was just funny to, you know, people of all ages. And stuff that has been funny for hundreds of years, you know, someone falling over, someone making a funny noise or doing a funny voice or whatever. And I think when I look back through Judd Apatow's history, the only potential criticism you could level at him, and maybe one question about why these films, his most popular, maybe are not in the canon or maybe have fallen from the canon, would be, which of these do you think is broad enough that, you know, people, a whole cross-section of society would enjoy this and laugh at it in the way that some of the most successful and popular comedy films or skits or series of history have been. You know, Charlie Chaplin can be enjoyed by everybody, regardless of their age, regardless of their culture or what they bring to the film. You know, there's no barrier to entry with something like that, and that is the reason it stands the test of time. Whereas with Judd Apatow, you could watch some of his films and say, this was very specific to the, you know, tone and style of comedy from the mid-2000s, that the audience, you could make an argument, was young men who, when they came of age with these films, they would really enjoy them, but that because they were sort of silly and sexual, that they, you know, that they appealed to a particular demographic. I don't know, I'm playing devil's advocate a little bit, but if you had to pick one of his films that you thought transcends that slightly, which one would that be?
Because, like, you know, Superbad is probably still stands, people would still bang on Superbad, or would they not?
I don't think, I mean, I think, yeah, like, I think Superbad might still be, it, you know, if young people watched Superbad now, I think they would find it funny. But, like, you know, my 60-year-old aunt isn't enjoying Superbad, right? Like, she doesn't find that funny. She's not interested in that. Like,
no, the test is, does the movie Superbad or this, the appeal to people who were fans of Superbad and Knocked Up was men in their early 20s, back in 2007. Do men in their early 20s, would they watch it and it be appealing? That's the test.
Right, yeah.
Not your grandma.
I mean,
or your aunt. That is the question. And the question is, I think
questions wrapped up in what I was saying. I did a big preamble.
Well, I'm going to answer the question I want to answer, which is the one I just said.
Right. That's not my question, but you can answer. Well,
your question doesn't make any sense.
It does. It definitely does. It's two questions together.
Okay, just ask the first one by itself.
Okay, the first one by itself is the one that you've just asked, right? Would the same niche demographic enjoy this film were it released today? Superbad, as an example.
And I think, yes, they would. I think, like, for example, the popularity of The Inbetweeners, the British TV show now, is testament to, I think, teenage boys and, like, men in their early 20s, would have the same...
Yeah. We're still drawing cocks.
Yeah, drawing cocks and have the same kind of silly... smoking weed. There's nothing specific at all about Knocked Up that would make anyone go, why, this doesn't appeal to me.
Sure.
And I like watching it now, it was watching it through the eyes of someone who has had kids, and I could go, and I could enjoy it from the Paul Rudd perspective.
Sure. Well, the broader question was, is there a film that Judd Apatow has either, you know, written and directed or produced that you think crosses or has appeals to a broader cross-section of society in the same way that a Charlie Chaplin film has no barrier to entry for the audience, and you could be any age and from anywhere and enjoy that?
No, are you asking though, but his films never had that? That's why I'm confused by the question. His films never had that. And Bridesmaids is the one that is closest to that, and he produced that.
No, I'm saying of the ones that he's touched, that he's been a part of in some way.
Oh, Bridesmaids, easily.
Bridesmaids, probably.
That's right. The one, because but Anchorman, yeah. Not. I think that, you know, that's still a cult specific, yeah. The humour of that is very specific. I mean, I think that, like, Knocked Up and This Is 40 have very, very broad appeal, and that your aunt would, she might find. Thank you.
myself up as a fucking asshole.
What do you think? Is there an answer? Do you feel like you've asked a question that you're dying to answer?
I'm not. I've accidentally asked a question that for somehow has got your back up. I don't know how or why. I'm not coming after Big Judd, your favourite Judd. I'm not attacking Apatow. And I didn't. I was genuinely curious. I was thinking, yeah, we set the stage. Wow. When you read through his production credits, you think this man has touched every one of the most famous comedy films in a sort of 10 to 15 year time period, and yet no one ever talks about him. You could make the argument no one knows the name of the person that like directed the Charlie Chaplin films or produced them or put them together or whatever. But people do remember Will Ferrell. Do you think people will remember Will Ferrell in 100 years?
No.
Which comedy performer from films will be remembered in 100 years' time? We're talking 2125. Let's even say the end of this century. So 2100, 75 years' time.
Jim Carrey.
That's a pretty good answer.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
I don't know if that's true or not, but if it were to be true of anyone, it probably could be true of him, couldn't it? What about Rowan Atkinson? Like for Mr. Bean?
But not because he's TV. I think because Jim Carrey burned so brightly and so iconically, if that's possible, it's Carrey and people would just reach for him. He's not been topped. I mean, it's not Ben Stiller.
I mean, do you think it could be Adam Sandler?
No. I mean, it could be, but I'd hope it wasn't.
Ben Stiller was the most famous comedian in films for a few years, right? In the 2000s. I think he was top of the tree for a short period. And he's kind of almost like completely disappeared, right? Steve Carell. Steve Carell's made it huge, man. He's like...
But he's made it huge in TV. On TV.
Yeah.
He does not have the cinematic lineage that Jim Carrey has.
No, but I wonder if we're getting too hung up on the films element here.
That's the only interest. That's the only thing I'm interested in on the Movies You Forgot podcast. Mm-hmm.
Robin Williams.
Not.
Da, not da, da,
ba, da, ba, Eddie Murphy. Mike Myers. You know, Mike Myers for the voice of Shrek, Shrek that everyone alone. Adores so much.
Shrek will be around in 2100. It will. What about Jack Black? He's mega famous, isn't he?
He's mega famous. But he's not. There's no way he's anything. Anyone would say if you had to pit him against Carrey. No one's saying Jack Black in that.
No.
Who'd you prefer, Jim Carrey or Jack Black?
Yeah.
And if they say Jack Black, you turn around and walk away and you that's it, you're done with this person.
Ask me the question.
Okay, so
please,
I'm going to ask you
something. Please ask me the question.
I'm going to ask you, okay? I'm going to ask you who your favourite comedic performer is between two people.
Define favourite. Who do I prefer?
I'm going to say the person who has made you laugh the most. Uh-huh. Surprised you in cinema, only in cinema, and that has just done great comedy.
Yeah,
not easy stuff, not hack stuff, but just made you laugh. And when you go back to seeing them, I'm just going to give you two names. I just want you to give me which name, okay? And just be honest. There's no wrong answer.
No, there's no wrong
this
answer.
This is taste. There is honestly, there's no wrong answer.
Okay.
This is everyone can say whatever they want to these questions. Yeah. Humor, so subjective.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think that was funny. I really liked it. I thought it made me laugh. Great. Mm-hmm. Let's go and have a drink. Okay, so that's all it is. The stakes couldn't be lower.
They're really low.
Really low. Okay.
Who are the names?
So I'm going to say Jim Carrey.
Right.
And Jack Black.
Jack Black. As a teenager. I loved Ace Ventura, Pet Detective 2, When Nature Calls.
Yeah.
I thought that was, you know, I still sometimes when I'm at home on my own
Shakaka.
And I'm just moving and I'm moving around the house, sometimes I just say Shakaka. Or I'll go Shakaka.
Shakaka.
And I don't know why. I mean, for the power of one man to say a word, Shakaka, like that, and for me to just want to say Shakaka over and over again. I've remembered that. That was, I've got the leakiest bucket of all time. So the reason I hesitate over Jim Carrey is just because I sometimes feel weird and uncomfortable about him. But yeah, I mean, he has the comedic power to make me remember a made-up word, Shakaka.
That because it is one of the great comedic moments in any film. I think it's great. It's not a great movie, but that,
hey, when he climbs out the back of that rhino, that's cinema history right there. I'm watching that as a teenager thinking, I'll remember this forever. He's climbing out the back of a pretend rhino. Even the way that he operates the controls of the pretend rhino, you know, pulling the levers back and forward, that is, it's just terrific. Jim Carrey is the obvious.
Do you know what I put on the other night? What? I haven't watched in maybe 25 years.
Shikaka.
No, close. I popped on The Mask.
Oh, right, yeah.
Which I hadn't seen since maybe the year it came out. Maybe sure. When I was 1994, 95. No, it's around that year, 1994. So it's something been a long there. Time.
Yeah.
It's not great, but he's just fantastic. He's doing unbelievable stuff. He's just elevating, you know, feels like a TV movie, but
he's
the whole film, and it just such small little stuff, the amount of energy and just the surprise fun little odd line readings he does is great.
I think it's easy to take Jim Carrey for granted if you are a child that grew up watching him in films. Because, you know, when you look at what's come after him and then you look at what came before him, he's sort of not really doing anything like anybody else, is he? He's doing something. I'm sure there'll be comedy fans who'll you know, write in via email or on the Discord, the Movies You Forgot Discord, link in the podcast description notes, saying, oh, actually, he was a bit like Mitch Hedberg, or he was a bit like, you know, insert prior American comedian I'm unaware of here. But to my knowledge, Jim Carrey's doing something very unique in a world of people doing very samey things. And yeah, as I said, it's easy to take that for granted when you grow up and that's just happening there for you in front of you in these films. But you're right, retrospectively, pretty incredible stuff really, isn't it? Shame he wasn't in Knocked Up.
Bonjour. Nice sweater.
I feel like you didn't like Knocked Up or watching it. Did you watch this today?
I watched it today.
Yeah. Did you watch it with your wife?
No. I watched it in two halves. The first and the second. And in the middle, I went for lunch in Enfield. So, you know, you can imagine.
Did you pause it at the midpoint? Did you know what midpoint was?
It was accidental. It felt natural.
It's never accidental.
Well, it was unconscious.
Yeah.
How about that? It was unconscious. I did. I paused it and I thought, almost exactly halfway through. What was the midpoint? The midpoint was when, I don't know, one of the women gets pissed off about something, was it?
Yeah, that's a big argument. Yeah,
big argument. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And you feel like, oh, that's it. That's the end for these guys.
What? No, I thought, oh, that's it. That's the end of this film being funny, you know, because that is my problem with mid-2000s American comedy films. Too many of them get to the midpoint and then they stop being funny. And Knocked Up is kind of one of those movies, if you ask me. You know, it's not hugely funny in the first half. And I think, to your point earlier, it's not a film in the vein of 40-year-old version. It doesn't have a joke a minute. It doesn't need to be, you know, this thing that's kind of a chainsaw of humour. But I could have a little bit more. I could have a little bit more there for me. You know, I feel like there's very sparing butter scraped thinly across my toast.
Yeah, it's light on laughs.
I think if it was heavier, if it was light on laughs, but it was heavier in other areas than it is, then I would be fine with it.
And what the film is, I think, supposed to be about, it's like having to move on from your friends and move on from a certain period of your life and kind of having to grow up.
Right.
I can't do this anymore. You know, you guys are still behaving like this and smoking weed and having parties and making dumb websites, but I need to grow up and I need to move on. I'd love it if that's what the movie was really, really about.
Yeah.
Because it's not really close to seriously anywhere near being about that.
Not really, no. That would be quite interesting. Can we say, having moved on, that Leslie Mann, not to be mistaken for Leslie Manville, of course, very different, but Leslie Mann, it's I feel as though it's nice, isn't it? Because it's sometimes, it's rare when you have two people who are in a relationship who are both sort of celebrities in the same, you know, industry. How many industries are there celebrities in? There's only one industry where you're a celebrity. Show business. My point is, there are lots of other people whose spouse, like, makes it into films because they're married to someone or because, you know, their wife or husband is you know, the director or producer or whatever. Leslie Mann is fucking amazing. Like, she's so funny. She's incredible in everything she's ever been in. She's so mean and rude and pathetic. She plays a pathetic character incredibly well. She deserves a lot of credit.
She's particularly good in this. She's amazing in This Is 40.
Yeah. I know you love that film because you think that's like your life. That you think you're Paul Rudd in that film.
No, I think the dynamic between him and his wife and the arguments they have are... It feels very, very spot on and it makes it funny. Fuck, the phone's ringing. Hello?
Hi, is that Adam Richmond?
Yeah, sorry, speaking.
Hi, this is Judd Apatow.
Hey, what?
Yeah, it's Judd Apatow, the Hollywood writer, director, producer, more producer really than the other two.
Wow, how did you get my number?
I got it from Joe.
Wow, that's amazing. I love you, Judd, mate. I've just watched Knocked Up.
Oh, yeah, that one.
You know, I'm big fan. I was into Freaks and Geeks and Cable Guy even, you know.
Oh, that's great. Thanks, man. Yeah. Appreciate that.
Why are you calling me?
Well, I was hanging with Joe, and he was telling me that you're a big fan of This Is 40, one of my smaller oeuvre.
Yeah, man, that film didn't do the business, did it?
What?
It didn't really hit as big as it should have.
It made millions of dollars. What do you mean?
Yeah, but not. You just said smaller of your oeuvre, and I was just agreeing.
Yeah, but you said it didn't do the business. I knew it was going to be smaller. Within the small pond in which it is a fish, the fish died, suffocated to death through lack of water because of the space. You know, it was way bigger than people thought it was going to be. I knew, you know, that there's a difference between calling it smaller and then saying it didn't do the business. God, have you ever worked in Hollywood? Clearly, no.
No, but it was my understanding that it didn't really do the business.
Do you want to try again? Yeah?
No, but you've called me, Judd. I'm happy to go on record with you as...
I thought you said you're a big fan. Why are you being so rude to me, man?
I am. I was commiserating with you. I wished it had done the business.
It did the business. Stop saying it didn't do the business. It did the business.
I want to see This Is 60. That's what I'd love to see, but I don't know if there's an appetite for it.
Well, that's what I was calling about. But now I'm not so sure because you're saying you think this film didn't do the business. Let me tell you. The film grossed $88 million. Yeah, have you ever done anything which has made $88 million?
Yeah, but you're not... I haven't made... You know, that's not a comparison. You should be comparing yourself to the Farrellys or Ben Stiller.
Who?
Well, you worked with Ben Stiller and the Farrellys were around before you, so...
Yeah, you get what I'm saying. You know, I'm Judd. I'm Big Judd. I've touched everything.
I think 80's the ceiling that, you know, yeah, you've made your money, Mike. What did you spend? Like 35, 40 on that?
35.
Right.
So estimated. No one really knows.
You're spending at least 10 or 15 on the marketing. It's not...
No, we didn't do any marketing.
I know you did because I saw posters for it, but you know, it didn't even really stick into culture.
It took $12 million on December the 23rd. That's 2 days before Christmas, man.
I really like it. I think it's a really underrated movie.
Yeah, I'm just upset that you said it didn't do the business. But upset about that.
It didn't.
In my business, if you don't do the business, you're not in my business. So, you know, and to think you were excited that I had called.
But you're not doing the business, and that's why you're not making movies anymore.
You could have just apologized, man. Did you always do this? You dig in? You won't let anything go?
It has been said about me, yeah.
Right, because you could just say sorry.
But I'm not sorry, and I haven't said anything wrong. I'm sorry I hurt your feelings.
Oh, my God. This level of specificity. This is just, you know, could you not think this could be your big, this big? This is your golden ticket, man. This could be your big opportunity. I'm Judd Apatow calling you about a project, and you already refusing to apologize for telling me a film I made didn't do the business, you know?
Are you telling me Cable Guy did the business?
Yes, all of my movies do the business.
What, Drillbit Taylor?
Yeah, sure. I don't remember that one. I think it did the business. Yeah,
no one remembers that one.
Well, again, that business was a very specific, small business that it did. We all knew what it was going into it.
Are you familiar with the phrase doing the business?
It means numerous different things. One of them, having sex with your wife. Yeah.
So, should we play the box office game?
Would you like to play the box office
game? I'd love to. I feel like you're making me say that because you're loath to spare me, but come on.
I'm loath to what?
Well, you want to, like, string it out. You want to stop me from having a sub-2-hour edit.
That's not it at all. There's a big old 40-minute chunk you could just cut from this episode, I would say.
Yeah.
If you want. So, I think you've got a really easy job again. I just got finished cutting down a 2.5-hour beast in Pirates.
Yar.
Down to an hour, you know. Got pretty easy.
An hour and a half of just drivel.
Yeah, a lot of drivel. There was a lot of drivel. Yeah, I cut out, for listeners who listened to the Pirates episode, I cut out a whole chat we had about Johnny Depp. That was easy to go. Not interesting, actually. Turns out, retrospectively, it wasn't interesting.
Did you spot out the Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas poster in Knocked Up?
No, I didn't. No.
There's two. There's a Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas film poster. The sort of smushed head of in Seth Rogen's bedroom, and then the wide in the living room. It's a illustration of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. The guy who does the illustrations, I think Ralph Searle.
Right.
So it's just like, just to hammer home, these guys like drugs.
These guys like drugs.
These guys are in their 20s and they like drugs.
Right. Yeah.
They probably read Charles Bukowski as well.
I don't like drugs.
No, me neither. I mean, I don't count beer as a drug.
Sure.
And even though it's a mind-altering substance, but I don't.
I don't count chocolate, you know, Terry's chocolate orange.
I don't count knocking one out, even though that's something of an addiction.
Well, we didn't say addictions, we just said drugs.
It's a mind-altering substance, the old white stuff.
It certainly is. When you get it in your mind, it really alters things up there.
Yeah, and your hair.
It's horrible.
Mm. Well,
horrible.
Would you count sleep?
Is a drug?
Mind-altering drug?
No, but I would count adrenaline as a mind-altering drug.
So going to the football?
In many ways in which adrenaline can be, the release of it can be triggered. Going to the football, going to the boxing, going to the rugby, going to the
cricket.
Ice skating, the cricket.
Yeah.
No, not cricket.
No.
Going to the sumo wrestling.
What do you think? Going to what else?
Curling.
Going to the decathlon. Yeah. What do you think?
Petanque.
What's that?
A boule. Bowl, yeah, petanque, you know, is where it's kind of like you know, French bowls.
Is it French kaplunk? Because that'll get you going, kaplunk. You ever played kaplunk?
I played French kaplunk.
Have you?
Yeah, it's a bit different.
How's it different? What's the difference?
It's a bigger tube.
A lot of brie cheese, is there?
It's a bigger tube, and it's mainly baguettes that form the crisscross.
Yeah,
and a lot of little mini baby bells.
That's pretty fun.
Resting.
I read about French kaplunk once. I thought the difference was that all of the sticks stay in because everyone was on strike. Yeah. The balls never go anywhere, but they were occupied by the net seats, the kaplunk tube. Anyway, brackets estimated, Bujo for Knocked Up. Of course, you know it's 2007. So what does that mean to you? The financial crash hadn't happened yet when they were spending all this money.
But 9/11 had.
9/11 had happened, yeah. And America still needed a win.
Well, comedy, you know, this is where you go, you can get stuff made for cheap.
Right.
So that's the whole thing with it. That's what they do. None of these people are stars at the time. Heigl, she's a face, she's not a star.
Sure.
Seth Rogen. Yes, he popped up in 40-Year-Old Virgin. He's getting bumped up, but, you know, all his stoner buddies, forget about it. Paul Rudd's not a star.
Yeah. No, he wasn't a star. I will say, though, I'd be curious to see what a director these days could do with this money, because I feel like it would be more.
Ooh, okay. Guide.
I'm not saying it's a guide. I'm just saying that it seems as though, and maybe that's to do with technology, that filmmakers are a little bit more economical these days.
Well, if you watch on the DVD, I got this for 50p, by the way.
Right.
From the charity shop. This is a charity shop movie. I see Knocked Up in the charity shop every single time.
Big time. Yeah.
And
a lot of pregnant women around your area.
There are, yeah.
Yeah.
But there's so many bloopers and extended scenes and alternate takes. And so they're really filming. Apatow's behind the camera. He's shouting out ideas for lines.
Yeah. He's saying, say penis. Say penis. And then, no. Say vagina. Say vagina.
Yeah.
He's saying those sorts of things.
You've got improv legends like Bill Hader.
Bill Hader's there as well. And he's doing, say penis, but as Darth Vader.
Kristen Wiig pops up. She's so good in the two scenes that... She's
unrecognizable.
In.
She looks like Sarah Paulson in this film. I had to double check that it was her.
I'm going to say 20 million. I'm going to say they made it for 20 million, but it's probably more than that.
It was more than that. They made it for 30 million.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I was possibly going to nudge it to 25, but I felt like it was 20 million, but 30 million.
Either way, you would have been outside of the 10%.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Don't mind.
Opening weekend US and Canada, June the 3rd. 2007. Wow. This is a June movie. This is a June movie.
This is being sold as from the makers of The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
It very much is.
You liked that.
Yeah.
We've got more.
Hey, you like that one, but bring your girlfriend to this one.
It's got the premise. It's got the poster. It's got everything you need. You don't have to have a star.
Sure.
Yeah, but what does a comedy make? People love to laugh.
What does a comedy make? Oh, my God. It's so hard to know, isn't it? It's really hard to know.
Does it make...
Why don't you start talking about territories, you know? Because I know you love to do that.
There are certain territories that I just don't relate, okay? And I'm not even going to say them because they don't relate because they're different kinds of movies.
Like Logan territory?
Well, so you're saying a territory now.
I'm giving you an example of a territory, like Logan territory. Jumper territory?
I just said I didn't want to say the names.
You didn't say them, I said them.
Yeah, I don't want to hear them.
You don't want to hear them. Baby doesn't want to hear the names.
If it gets jumper territory, it's almost made its money back on opening weekend.
Well, incredible. Or it has because of what you think Jumper Territory is, as opposed to what Jumper Territory actually is.
Jumper Territory is 27.
That's what I know it to be, but you always said it was, you always said it was 25 to 30.
The exact number is 27. Jumper Territory is between what I think and what it is.
Jumper Territory is between what I think and what I think.
Yeah, it's what I say.
It's what I say.
Amazing if it would make Jumper Territory. Well, let's say, I mean, I love it when I guess the budget and I get it wrong, and then I guess that same number as what it made. So I'm going to guess 20 million again.
Well, you'd be wrong again.
Right, okay.
Because it made 30 million, $690,000. It made over its edumated budget in the first and opening weekend.
Jumper Territory, boom.
Jumper Territory. Well, yeah, around, yeah.
That's what territory is.
No, because you previously, I've got you on record as saying Jumper Territory is between 25 and 30, and this is 30.7.
That counts. And
well, not, you know, when you're specific. Talking territory, not in a range. It's outside of the range, man.
No. Territory is loosey-goosey. Don't tell me I invented territories.
You can't claim a win back on that. You got it wrong.
I said
you're here on all fours trying to scrape up a win off the floor. There's no wins on the floor, man. I'm holding the win, standing over the top of you, okay? And now I'm going to ask you to guess gross worldwide. Tricky, isn't it? It's very tricky. Big Judd. Can't do the business, can he, that guy? Doesn't do the business.
Well, he does. He does this time.
No wonder he was so offended with you in the improv phone call that potentially got cut from the episode. Very offended with you for saying he didn't do the business in a different film.
Funny people didn't do the business.
Well, there you go again, talking up about Judd's business.
This did the business. People loved it. They thought it was funny. Some people said, some male critics who know everything about sexism said it was sexist. Women who also know more about sexism said, no, guys, it's actually not. Shut up.
It made
$180 million.
It made $220 million.
Lovely. Great. I love that.
It did the business.
Yeah, it did. And I was off every single time, but just by a smidge. Should we do the bit in the podcast where one of us reads out a list of movies they forgot, with a view to catching out the other one on a movie they forgot to pick next week's episode that we're going to do next week?
Oh, I'd love to do that. Do you mean the second episode of 2026, Adam Richmond?
I hope so. Who knows? Sometimes people aren't around, or they get waylaid, or they're poorly, and then an episode doesn't go out or doesn't get recorded, and then something else, a filler, has to go in. So I'd hesitate to offer and, you know, go on record as saying, oh, this is going to be next week's episode.
There can't be that many more fillers, though, can there? Because I think you run out of ticket stubs pretty soon, don't you?
Well, I might have already run out of them because of Christmas.
Right, yeah.
But I'm good. They go up to 2004.
I've only released
1999 and 2000 as we record this.
No, but by the time this is released, you will have done two more episodes, you know.
2001.
And 2002.
2002, yeah.
You will. Well, I mean, you said you were going to, but you know, sometimes people get poorly or ill or.
Well, I've recorded 2001 already.
I know.
It's done.
Yeah,
just have to read through my stubs and 2002, and I just say the names of the films. I say what seat I sat in. I say how much it cost. I have a fun little joke about. I say the time, and it also sometimes because the prices were so cheap. Am I saying the price of the ticket, or am I saying the time I saw it?
It's an outrageous laugh. Cobalt 9 said today on the Movies You Forgot Discord. I don't know if you read this one, Adam. I'd assume not, because you haven't love-hearted it like me. Late to the last few weeks' episodes, but just have to say, I love Adam going through old ticket stubs. Reminds me of how my time in college was. Going to see obscure movies, often alone, but occasionally with friends. And hearing Joe sing in the Bugonia episode was special. I don't recall singing. Apparently I did. There you go. You've got a fan there in Cobalt 9.
Thanks, Cobalt. That's Cobalt 9. That means a lot.
Yeah. Do you want to hear another review? This one's from Schmavine.
Right.
One on the Movies You Forgot Discord.
Right.
It says, love the podcast, guys. Big fan of yours, Joe. You're sexy. And then it says, but have to say, getting a bit bored of listening to Adam's ticket stubs. I wish he would be clearer on when he whether he meant it was the time he went to see the film or how much the film ticket cost. Very annoying. Please talk more about football. Do you want to hear a real interaction I got the other day on Twitter?
Yes.
Oh, coward, he's deleted it.
Coward.
He sent me, this guy sent me a message on Twitter saying something to the effect, I get this almost every day, something to the effect of, stop trying to be funny. Stop pretending you're a stand-up comedian and just talk about football. You're not funny. It's embarrassing. And I sent him a message back saying, I said, buddy, we talked about the intricacies of the Premier League's new financial rules for fucking ages.
Yeah, I listened to that. You did. It was really
such
boring.
A long time. I know.
No, it's good.
I said, if you don't like it, just don't listen. And he said, fair. I was drunk after the Christmas party. Not sure why I wrote this. And I thought, he didn't say sorry.
Who doesn't say sorry? So it's your go. I got you out and knocked up. Pretty chuffed with this one. You reset right. The bar with Pirates. Okay, you made the game matter again.
Got it. Yeah.
And, you know, knocked up was a bit of a soft lob.
Sure.
Glad we did it.
I want to lob something really, really hard and throbbing at you.
Make me hurt.
I think this has come up before, but I think we live in a new era now. And I wonder if this guy I'm looking at right now, I wonder if he's going to say yes to this. Okay? I start my game today with the following film. Let me say the first word, and then you finish the film title, okay? Interview.
With.
The.
Vampire.
That's right.
I thought it was Interview a vampire. With the vampire. I thought it was a vampire.
Oh, I think it's the vampire.
Yeah, the, because there's only one. Never seen it.
Never seen
never
it.
Never seen it.
You've never seen it.
Never seen it, because it always never looks so... Never seen it. Yeah, it looks so stupid.
But it's got your favourite Tom Cruise in.
He's not my favourite Tom Cruise.
He's your favourite, comma, Tom Cruise.
No, he's not my favourite.
But it's got Guy Pearce in it, from Memento.
Is it?
And it's directed by Christopher Nolan, and the whole film is made backwards. Are you sure you don't want to watch it?
No, it's got Christian Slater in it.
It's a shame you haven't seen it. And that you'll feel this way about me and many of the films that you suggest. But I really believe that Interview with the Vampire is one of the dead center plum canon films for this podcast. It's one that everyone listening who's seen it is going, oh my God, like I knew this was going to come at some point. It's the pumping artery of the movies you forgot universe. I think you got to watch it. And then in a year's time, we'll do an episode. Can you promise me that?
Well, if I can find it on a streamer, if I see it in a charity shop.
I've got it on DVD, I think.
Great.
Well, you haven't seen that, so moving on.
Gutted. No golden duck for old Joey Jojo.
Gutted. Now, this one, little different. You said the other day on Pirates that you really enjoyed watching it with your daughter. And so I thought, what are more films that, you know, maybe your children haven't seen, that you might have seen previously and would want to watch with them? And I wrote down this film, Homeward Bound.
Never seen it. Dogs.
You've never seen it. Two dogs and a cat.
Yeah. Very poor stuff from Joe in this game. He set the bar high.
Okay.
And he's fumbling at my blouse.
Well, I want to tell you, I'm going way over the bar. It's just that you're not coming over the bar with me. Okay, talk about runtime. Well, maybe I won't. Well, you won't do it. You'll
just
say no.
It.
You'll veto
say
this
it.
One.
Have some backbone.
Okay.
Come on.
Colin Farrell's longest ever film. Alexander.
I thought you were going to, for a minute, I thought you were going to say the thin red line. If you'd said the thin red line, I'd say, yes, please. And he's not even in it. he's not even in the thin red line. He's in the other one. He's in The New World. No, I've never seen Alexander.
Fuck, man. What? I thought you'd seen films. Jesus. Okay. All right. I've got 4 and 5 to go. I've deleted those from the list now. Here we go. Okay. In at number 4. Those are all the films I wanted to watch.
You really wanted to watch Alexander? The critically panned Alexander?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've just been listening to... you ever listen to Hardcore History with Dan Carlin? He's great. He does these ancient history podcasts. And I was listening to the Alexander one the other day. And it's just great. Great stories, exciting. You know, I know it's a bad film, but it's got Angelina Jolie in it, hasn't it? And I don't think she's ever been in a film that we've done here. But we should do an Angelina Jolie because I feel like she is canon actor. You forgot. I mean, she was so central to everything that was happening in the 2000s. And it's like she's just not in... She's just gone. She's done. She's not in the conversation at all.
Because she was never in anything that was really good or amazing.
Right.
She was a star, but she never really did the business. I mean, if we do one, it'll be Wanted. That's what we'll do.
I've tried to get you on Wanted before.
Well, get me on it again.
And you said no.
I would let you get... It's a new age. It's a new era.
I'll add it to my list, but I'm not doing it now.
Would you let me get you on it?
Maybe. Okay, number 4. This is a good one. It's another longie, but it's a good film. And I think it's a good Forgot You Forgot. I just don't know if I want to watch it. The Untouchables.
I mean, I'd love to watch it. Query its entry into the Forgot You Forgot category.
I don't think anyone talks about this film. Who's talking about this movie? Nobody.
There's so much to remember about this flick. It'll be fun to watch. It'll be fun to do. I'm well up for doing it. I'm well up for this to be a cultural Forgot You Forgot.
Okay, because you haven't forgotten it.
Until you said it, I had forgotten it.
Oh, well, that's what I Forget You Forgot is.
Not quite.
That's my interpretation of it.
No, but I can't have every single film ever get on, like, it churning through my head. Like, I haven't thought about it in a while, okay?
How long's a while?
Listen, don't be a dickhead. I was giving you something.
No, I'm saying if you haven't forgotten it, you can add it to your list and get me with it next. Because I've got one on here that's a dead cert. I've got one on here that you mentioned in an episode where you were talking all on your own, and I know for a fact you got to say yes to it.
I don't want to do that one because I know what it is.
What is it?
It's a shit comedy, right?
No, it's not that one. I've got two on here that you've definitely agreed to do, but that isn't the one.
I'm massively up for doing The Untouchables. I'll take it, I'll be more...
All right, so we'll cut that last bit out then and just say, yeah, go on then. All right, I had forgotten it.
No, I'm not going to say that. I'll say yes.
Just say it.
No, I'm
just
not going to say that.
All right, say a version of it. Come on.
Yeah, no, of course I haven't forgotten it, but I think you're right. You know.
Oh, if you haven't forgotten it, then we should move on and not do it.
Okay, fine. If you want to be a cunt, let's not do it then.
I'm not being a cunt. It's up to you. The name of the game is...
Don't be a knob.
I can't. I'm always your stooge for watching a film you want to watch. You know. All I'm saying is, if you want to do The Untouchables, then you have to admit that you forgot about it. And if you don't admit that, then we'll have to wait for you to get me on it.
I can't be arsed. I'd love to rewatch it. I forgot. Until you mentioned it, Joe, I haven't thought about The Untouchables since I last watched it 4 years ago. Okay?
And you forgot about it.
Yeah, I forgot.
I can't believe you forgot about The Untouchables. And you say you're a cinema expert. That's disgraceful.